Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Türk Telekom 2010 Q3 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode until we conduct a question-and-answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, press star then zero on your telephone. And just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I'd now like to hand over to your chairperson for today, Abdullah Khayar. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Türk Telekom's conference call. I'm Abdullah Khayar, Head of Investor Relations. Before proceeding, let me mention that this document contains financial information that is reported under CNB IFRS, and this financial information is unaudited. Now, let me turn the call over to our Group CEO, Hakan Kanepany.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here with you today. My name is Hakan, and I am the Group CEO for Türk Telekom. And I've been with OJ Telekom for about 4.5 years, so I'm no stranger to the group. And I also have with me Mr. Gökhan, and he is the Türk Telekom Group CEO. I'm very proud and honored to be with him. He's been one of the instrumental figures in TT's success the past 4 to 5 years, and he is here with us. We also have two of my very close colleagues, Erkan Bey. He is the CEO of Avaya, and Tahsin Bey. He is the CEO of TTNet. And we have our esteemed leaders of the group, chiefs and directors. So it's a pleasure to be with you. The first thing we've done is that we are taking very serious bets. There is a big game on Sunday, and the first thing we're looking at is who will win in Turkey, Fenerbahce or Galatasaray. So I would like to take your opinion because this is very important for us, and it is a major focus for this group. So on a more serious note now, I would like to start by saying that we will start this by giving everyone his due. And I would like to thank Dr. Paul Duani for leading this company, TT and TT Group, into the where we are today. We consider him a mentor, and he is close by as the CEO of OTL. Thank you, Paul. And let me just continue to tell you that one of the good things that we're very proud of that happened is that we have retained the most valuable brand for Turkey at a brand equity valuation of about $1.7. We were there in 2009, and we are still here in 2010. So steady as she goes, we are taking this as an icon that we have maintained this brand, this leader in the brand equity, as we are maintaining our very successful strategy for the group. And the motto is steady as she goes for the next few years to come, building blocks, focusing on people, infrastructure, technology, to bring the holistic blanket of information, of technology, of communication to the people of this great nation, Turkey. So on October 7th, we have closed the acquisition of Invitel International, which is one of the important players in Central and Eastern Europe's wholesale data market, with about 27,000 kilometers of infrastructure in 16 countries. Add to that, Jazzy line that we have agreed, or Jazzy link that we have agreed, which connects international data infrastructure to about 4 countries into one single line. We aim to become the significant alternative in data communication between the Far East, Middle East, and Europe with Invitel International. The market in general, I think the mobile market remains to be competitive. We hope to see more rationalization going forward. We have focused on our strategy of building our profitability, improving our profitability for 2010. Uh, There's a regulatory development that we can take a look at, which is in the related to double taxation issue for the MVNOs. This issue was resolved in the parliament. It's a good development for TT Group. And we have, you know, we have many MVNO agreements with leading brands and sports clubs here in Turkey. And there's a regulator agenda for some time, an item that's on the regulator agenda for some time. It's the regulatory side, is the wholesale line rental. If we move to page number 4, give me a second to catch up with myself here. On page 4 of the presentation, I think we had a very strong quarter with year-to-date group revenue increasing by about 2% to almost 8 billion Turkish liras. And we attribute that to strong performance of mobile and ADSL businesses. Group's EBITDA and operating profit for the period also increased by 6% and 13% respectively compared to the first 9 months, you know, Q3 of 2009. So we saw EBITDA growing both in fixed line and in the mobile segment. So we're very happy to report that. Year-to-date net income also grew by 38% year-on-year on the back of improved performance and better net financial expenses. Compared to last year's significant foreign exchange loss, we recorded net financial income in the first 9 months of 2010. So, this is my update, and I would like to hand over to Telecom CEO, Mr. Gökhan Bozkurt, for the fixed line business. Thank you.
Thank you, Hakan. This is Gökhan Bozkurt, the Telecom CEO. And before moving on the fixed line update, I perceive, although Hakan is in Turkey for 4 years, unfortunately he doesn't have any sense of Fenerbahçe Galatasaray games, and he has hopes for Galatasaray City. And let's see, he will move on. And I would like to add that I am very proud of working with Hakan, and he possesses very impressive credentials, and over the past years, he has proven himself to be a great asset to the Telecom Group. There is a great harmony between two of us, except Fenerbahçe and Galatasaray. And we are geared up for the Telecom success. And moving on page 6, we look at the fixed line business, voice segment and convergence. We feel obviously good success with our new tariff structure in PSTN. Home Advantage bundle packages with close to 5 million subscribers now represent over 30% of total subscriber base. In addition, we continued our 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. free on-net calls and offered attractive rates for calls towards mobile and selected international destinations like Germany, the United States, and other countries. All these supported us to increase minutes of usage and slow down the decline in PSTN access lines. In Germany, we have started offering our product to meet the communication needs of Turkish community with the partnership we have established with Hansanet, a German ISP owned by Telefonica. This partnership offers a communication package including unlimited mutual calls between Germany and Turkey. With this offer, we will also include our online education software, Vitamins, which was developed by our group company, Sobe, and the online football game, I Can Football, that was developed by group company, Sobe, which has 700,000 subscribers in Turkey. We plan to launch similar partnership services in some other countries with significant Turkish community. Now, on the next page of 7, we look at the ADSL initiatives. Big success in upselling continues. Our up to 8 megabytes packages are now at 62% of the SNS subscriber base, and the unlimited packages are at 43% of the base. The average monthly data usage increased by 41% year over year and now at 12.3 gigabytes compared to European average of over 20 gigabytes. We expect a good upward trend here. We doubled the number of customers using TV Boo, which is our web TV service offered by a retail broadband operator, TETNET. TV Blue now reached 400,000 subscribers. These kind of initiatives continue to support our upcoming efforts. I'm very proud of to say that Telenet ranks top 5 globally regarding number of Wi-Fi hotspots by a single operator. We now have more than 8,300 Wi-Fi spots in line with our target of 10,000 by the year end. We believe one of the main advantages of fixed broadband is capacity usage with Wi-Fi providing mobility. On the next slide, page 8, we have fixed line revenue and EBITDA margins. On the revenue side, we see 9 months 2010 revenue figure of 6.2 billion TL is slightly higher compared to last year, thanks to 17% increase in ADSL revenues and the slowing decline in PSTN revenues in the period. The fixed line EBITDA is also up slightly, reaching 53% EBITDA margin. We have, of course, continued our strong cost control in the company, as well as our strong receivable collection program. Moving on next slide, page number 9. We now look at ADSL highlights. The wholesale ADSL connections are now over 6.75 million. We are able to gain 330,000 net subscriber adds year to date. On the ADSL ARPU side, we have a slight decline from the previous quarters, but about 10% year-over-year ARPU growth, thanks to strong upselling in the first 9 months of 2010. Moving on page 10, when we look at the PSTN highlights, we see a slowdown decline in PSTN access lines compared to previous quarters. Obviously, on the back of our successful home advantage offers, our average revenue per PSTN line ARPU increased quarter over quarter and year over year to 22.2 in quarter 3, 2010. On page 11, we have the headcount details. As you see on the left side chart, we now have 25,700 employees at fixed network operating unit only. Obviously, most of the reduction in the last quarter came from the civil servant-like employees returning back to government or retiring. We will be replacing some of these, but what is also important here is that the workforce replacements we make are obviously at lower cost per person, and they are also market salaries. Therefore, we see an improvement in our personal cost as percentage of revenue, currently around 20%. Now, I would like to hand over to Avaya CEO Erkan Akdemir for the mobile business update. Thank you very much.
Hello everyone. For the mobile business, let me give you some update about the market and the Avaya. As Avaya, we were very active with our commercial offers, targeting every segment, including the prepaid, postpaid, and traditional. We also had innovative launch of 3G products and also the NFC, and we got the best product as this product. Next page 14. In the third quarter of 2010, our revenue grew by 5% compared to the previous quarter, stimulated by the introduction of the new tariffs and campaigns across all segments. The EBITDA margin reached 19% in the third quarter, which is the second highest EBITDA since the inception with the 130 million this year. The commercial actions together with the strong OPEX management contributed positively in reaching this EBITDA level. Next page. We managed to achieve all-time high ARPU with our competitive marketing actions, both in postpaid and prepaid segment. as well as the profitability-focused transformation. As a result, prepaid ARPU also grew 8% quarter-on-quarter and 11% year-on-year. Postpaid ARPU grew 4% quarter-on-quarter while declining by 7% year-on-year. Next page. Our overall subscriber base was broadly in line with the previous quarter. We managed to gain 126,000 postpaid subscribers through effective mass and institutional segment offering in Q3. Although the paid base declined in line with the market, in September we had positive net addition of 15,000 in the prepaid segment after 15 months. We managed sustainable MOU levels in Q3. Now I pass to the David.
Thank you very much, Erkan. So, into slide 18, the financials, there's quite a few pages to go through as usual. In terms of the consolidated P&L, we've already mentioned that revenue is up almost 2% year on year. I think on the EBITDA margin, what we're seeing there at 44%, we're at the high end of our guidance for this year, which is the low 40s. If we go any higher, we're in the mid 40s. In terms of, if you go further down to financial income expense, if you'll remember, the income expense, the reason why it was higher last year compared to this year, because last year we took a lot of fees, expenses in the mobile side because of the NCPF renegotiation we did last year. If you look at the net income, which I know surprised a lot of you with how good it was well above the normal average that everybody was coming through with. What you see there is our net income so far now is almost the same, in fact slightly higher than what we achieved for the whole of last year. So it's not just 38% up on Q3 of last year, it's actually got the whole of last year's profit already. The Q4 is all the bonus on last year. If we turn to the next slide, balance sheet. As usual, not a lot to say on Third Telecom Group on the balance sheet, other than, as we say there, it's low leverage, and there's not a lot we can do about it. The net debt to equity is around about 0.54 at this quarter, which is extremely low, and we'll talk about that on the next slide. If it's slide 20 on the cash flow, you'll see that the cash flow from operating activities is almost 700 million up on the same period last year. Obviously, a lot of that driven by the net income position. On the CapEx, the reason it's down year on year, or the main reason it's down year on year, is last year we spent around about 450 million lira buying the 3G license. Under the cash flow from outside activities, main reason for the difference there is the dividend payment in both years was 1.5 billion last year, 1.6 billion this year. What happened last year is we took on extra debt. So that's why it's a little bit different. So we'll get funds flowing in from loans, whereas this year we haven't. In terms of slide 21, if we now look at the revenue breakdown, I won't talk too much about the revenue here because we'll cover that when we look at the fixed and the mobile separately. But I think the key thing to see here is if you look at ASL and GSM, they're almost now 50% of our business. And I've always said that this is a different telco, this is a telco with a lot of growth potential, and now you can see that ASL GSM exceeds the fixed voice level of revenue, and this is a basis for a growth engine for the future. If you look at now on slide 22 on the OPEX, again, I'll talk more in detail when we look at the fixed and mobile, but overall, what you can see is our OPEX in total, in absolute terms, is almost the same as 2009, helped clearly by interconnection, the MTR rate reduction that happened this year, and offset by our big investment in commercial, both in the VAR, on the mobile side, and on the fixed side, which in fact has generated a good performance of the business overall. If we now look at the fixed business, so on slide 23, and we look at the overall P&L, what we see there is, yes, the revenue's flat year on year, but if you recall, in the first half it was down 1%. So what we're actually seeing is in Q3 is a 2% quarter-on-quarter growth Q3 2010 over Q3 2009. It's nice to see the fixed line starting to grow again. And in terms of EBITDA, again, we're at the very high levels, 52%, 53% last year, 53% this year. So we're still at the very high EBITDA margins. As we said, we would be in the high 49, in the high 40s. We're actually slightly above where we've been going to in the past. If we now look at the revenue of the fixed line, I think what we see here is on the fixed voice, it's down 10% year on year. But if you look Q3 over Q3, you see it's only 4%. More importantly, if you look Q4 of 9 through Q1 of 10 through Q2 of 10 through Q3 of 10, we actually see almost uniquely low a fixed voice revenue that's pretty stable. In fact, it's slightly growing on Q4 base. So let's just say stable, which is one of the things we've been talking about since November of 2009 that would stabilize the fixed voice position. The other thing is, on ADSL, we see a good growth, 17% year-on-year, and of access, the data services, 26%. That's always been a big area of growth, still a small number compared to the others, but it's the revenue for the future, as we've always said. If we now move to the OPEX side of the business, yet again, we see good control on the personal expenses. Within there, by the way, there is around about a 20 million cost or charge for incentives or severance packages we've been giving people. But what you also see, again, as we said on the big picture on the consolidated, is the investment in the commercial side. But despite that, we still see a reduction in the OPEX. Again, some of that driven by Interconnect. They're not paying as much for Interconnect now for mobile. But overall, a successful business on keeping the OPEX down while revenue is fairly flat, like we have done in the last 2-3 years. If we move to mobile, as Erkan said earlier, what we're seeing there is good growth year on year, 6%, but what you don't see on this chart is the quarter, but Erkan mentioned the Q3 EBITDA margin is 19%. I'm sure a lot of you will ask the question, is there any one-offs in there? And the answer is yes, there is. What we did in the quarter is we did have a tax gain of around 26 million. Now, when I say tax gain, what I mean is, if you recall Q4 of last year, we made a provision for around the international roaming issue. Now, you know that Turkcell settled on theirs. We also settled on ours. And what that did is release a 26 million profit into the mobile numbers. So without that, the Q3 EBITDA margin would be around 15%. Now, that 26 million didn't impact the consolidated income of the company, because what we did is we actually left that in the fixed line business, because as you also know, we have a big claim from the government around three issues, and from that we said that in the first half accounts we had 35 million provision. So what we've done is just moved this 26 million over into that. And you'll see in our CMB financial statements, we say we've got about 61, 62 million lira put aside. As to whether that's enough, too much, only time will tell. We're at the early stages of discussion with the tax authorities on this. But we will date clearly as soon as we've got better information. Again, here on the CapEx, it's down because, year on year, mainly because we paid for 3G license last year. We haven't got a 4G this year, thank goodness. Click on the OPEX. The OPEX is down year on year, but again, that's driven by the NPR cuts, a big cut in terms of the mobile side. But overall, the OPEX has been maintained. What we're doing is we're seeing the higher margin come through from the revenue growth. So we're not spending all the revenue through lots of commercial activities. Clearly, there is some investment year on year, but nowhere near as much as the revenue growth. We get on to the last slide we will cover here, because I have an appendix slide that won't go through them, in the deck. I think what you can see here now is what we said we would do. Said we would split the long-term debt between euro and dollar, and we've now got ourselves to a position where it's almost a 50-50 split euro-dollar in the long term. And we intend to get exactly 50% or very, very close to it by year end as well, with our further changing of our long-term position. So with that, I think I'll go back to Abdullah to then go for some questions and answers.
Yeah, this now ends the management presentation. Moderator, we are now ready to take questions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad to register your question. Please press the hash or pound key if you wish to cancel your request. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. There will be a short silence while participants can register their questions. Our first question comes from the line of Leszek Iwaszko from KBC Securities. Your line is now open.
Yes, thank you. Congratulations on great results. Couple of questions on my side. First, I'd like to ask on personal expenses. There was a significant growth in personal expenses in both fixed and mobile businesses, particularly in mobile, 31% year on year. I'd like to clear out what were the severance. Had there been any severance payments made in Q3 in either of those business lines? And what's the outlook for severance payments for Q4? As far as I remember, in Q4 last year, in the fixed line, there were severance provisions of around, severance payments actually of around 50 million. Correct me if I'm wrong. What's the outlook for Q4 this year? Is it going to be around that number or lower? That's my first question.
Okay, in terms of personal expenses, as I said earlier, the only real severance out cost we've got is in the fixed line, and that was the 22 million in Q3. Uh-huh. Now, there will be some coming through in October, but not at that level, less than that.
Uh-huh.
In the mobile side, no, there aren't. A lot of that is driven by, obviously, mobile is a business where we're growing, and we're just bringing more and more people in there, building up the sales and marketing inside the business.
So you say that the 55 million that we saw in personal expenses in mobile, said in Q3, it's kind of a recurrent figure rather than one-off?
Yeah, it's more of a bit. I mean, the sales and marketing is also a call center which we insource. So, of course, what we see there is that coming through. But you can see by the margin improvement from, what, 2% last year to, all right, let's say 15% in Q3, it's clearly not a personnel or any expenses getting out of control there. We can't afford it. If it were, we'd be going into negative territory on EBITDA.
And you mentioned this 26 million, just to make sure, this was... this lowered this other category, cost category in the mobile? Is that correct?
Yes, in the CMB financial statements, it's put under other, and it's what it was. We took a provision in Q409, and we finally resolved the discussion with the tax authorities in Q3. And what that meant is we only paid around about 2 million against a provision around about 28.
Okay, that's clear. And now on the capex side, earlier in the year, you mentioned that you were planning to invest in 2010 around the same level which you invested in 2009, excluding Fiji license, which implied to invest a full year capex of around 2 billion. So far this year, you've accounted as capex only between 800 and 900. Should we still expect this around 2 billion to be invested in full year, or it will be significantly less? Because it implies really huge capex for the fourth quarter.
I think we can probably see that our guidance has been, you're quite right, that it would be similar to last year. What we're seeing is the potential that some of it may slip over into 2011, depending on rollout of the network, depending on the rollout, not just on the car, but also on the fixed, and getting the supplies to grow in time. But we've seen year after year that Q4 is above the average, so we do expect the pickup in Q4. It's just a case of whether the investments will be completed by the end of Q4 or slip into Q1. That's always the case every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Two more questions, if I may. First, on the ADSL lines, I see a bit of a slowdown in new connections. In Q2, it was quarter on quarter 110. Now it's roughly almost unchanged quarter on quarter. Should we expect some speed up of these new lines coming to Q4, or what's your outlook on that? And also, we would appreciate some kind of, let's say, how do you see these connections coming through in 2011 as well?
Well, I think in terms of ADSL, in Q3 it was around about 50,000 net adds, so it's a bit more than zero. 12 months, if you take from Q3 08 to Q4 09, we've had about 500,000 growth in net adds, but
Time in that sense. I mean, if you compare it to last year, we actually almost got the same net out in 9 months this year. We got in 12 months of last year, so I wouldn't call it a slowdown. Q3 is always a little bit of a quiet quarter because of the summer months, although we can't always use that. It's a tough market. The good thing is, we know there's a huge potential out there. It's about when we can fulfill that potential and start to get it all moving. I mean, we don't expect to get back to the levels of 2006, 2007, and that sort of huge 30, 50, even 100% growth in subscriber numbers. It is going to be a slower rate because we are a lot more pure. We are low 30s in terms of penetration of ADSL households now. But the good thing is, the potential's there. We are looking, we should see an economy. I mean, this is probably the 15th largest economy in the world. And so it should be able to get to around 50, 60% penetration, and still lower than most Western European average. But it's a question of when. We're trying lots of things. As you know, we also have done. And it's a matter of time as we break it through.
Right, thank you. And the last question is on the Invitel. Is it possible for you to give us any like broad view about the growth prospects of this asset? You've provided the rough figures for 2009 for revenues and the recurring EBITDA. You know, how would you see this asset growing from these levels? Let's say the range is it this margin that these numbers imply, kind of recurring margin, or the scope for improvement here?
Hello, this is Hakam. I wanted to make a quick comment about the previous question. May I? And then go
sure, sure.
In this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for ADSL, we believe in what we believe that there is speed is really king. One of the great things about the internet, if a user drives a certain speed, it's very difficult for him or her to utilize another. And this is the strategy that we've been focusing on, is that we believe that there is a complementary side to mobile internet, and because we believe in the quality and the speed of the fixed ADSL. So this is something that we think that this is going to continue to grow. Growth will naturally slow down, like David has said. Also note that there is a seasonality. The third quarter we have the holy month of Ramadan, and the fourth quarter you usually see a little bit faster growth. We are at about 30% penetration of households in Turkey. Now, having said this, I also want to say that we're doing the short term marketing, advertisements, promotions, very focused, targeted products that I think are extremely unique. We have a brilliant marketing and sales two departments correlating and collaborating on this. But we also have a strategic vision where we are trying to help the market to grow by putting the proper enablers. There are the PC penetrations. That's something that is directly related. Not that it does not determine the percentage of penetration, but it's definitely a factor, and we try to work on that because we want to make sure that there is enablers in the pipeline. So every 6 months, something boom that gives, and then we get another shift in that curve. The other thing we're looking at is content. We think that content is king. Application, hence we invested in our IT companies are coming up with these games, with these contents. And also e-government, we're seeking to see how the e-government side of Turkey, and by the way, they have a very developed applications on that side. But we're working through the schools, we're working through this to make sure that there is a long-term approach, which is improving the enablers, making the market have more applications, more things to do on the internet, safer internet for the children and the families, and that would elude more people to go in. The other thing that the team is working on, they've done a wonderful job in 2010, and I think they'll do an even better job in terms of effort and creativity in 2011. They're looking now at some of the regions outside of Ankara and Istanbul. You have to understand, and I'm sure many of you do, that These cities are cosmopolitan, world-class, very developed cities. So you get everything there. But right now we also want to focus on outside these cities, and that takes you in the enabler side. We were doing the 6 month, 7 month project in correlation with the short-term project, the project that will improve and increase the penetration now. So, having said all this, we still believe in that product. Our strategy is stable. It is the same. It is successful. And we're moving forward steady as she goes with these same detriments. So this is my comment. I tried to speak more than David, but I think this is almost impossible. So the next point I would like to make is about Invitel. So we are looking at Invitel because of something that's very traditional in Turkey. Turkey is a great nation that connects East and West. This is an icon for Turkey. And when you look at what is East and West today, it is data developed and data developing. So if we make this connection between the developing side, the developed side, we will be part of that growth. And and this is where we are looking at. So this is one. Number two, note that this company is not only about wholesale voice. It's also about hosting and giving capacity to a lot of the companies that are coming this side of the world now. So if you look at the CEE countries, you would see that a lot of companies from the United States, I don't like to use the word developed, so let's say, you know, who have more potentially capable financing of these projects, when they come and they provide hubs for easier internet access, this is where we are. So this continuity and this connectivity between a center, which is Turkey, that is appreciated, that there is affinity between this country from a technological point of view, from a social point of view, from a political point of view, with the eastern side of the world, and then serving it to the western side of the world at the same service level agreement, at the same quality. I don't think that there is any country in the world today, or at least in this region, that can do this role. And hence, when we found the opportunity of Invitel, and we are very opportunistic company, we always look for good opportunities that make sense, make financial sense. When we saw that, this is the strategy that we have aligned ourselves with, so that we can grow this. Last point is if you link that to the Jebi line, you will see that we are starting to form that this is an icon for this strategy that I'm telling you. You will see that where we are. We started the Jebi line and where we ended, and you will see that we are focusing on this area where we are connecting east and west. So it's an icon, but at the same time, it's a very, I think, solid strategy. We're very happy with this company, and one of the reasons also that we have acquired this company, and I was honored to be a small team player in the team that has acquired this company from within Türk Telekom Group, is that they have an Excel management that excel, that are full of enthusiasm, very smart. What impressed us is that every sale they make, they look at the EBITDA contribution of it, and this is something that we respect and we like very much. And now we have closed the signing. Of course, we closed on the 7th of October, but there'll be like a signing ceremony coming up, and maybe a small celebration. And the integration part has started by consolidating all these 16 little companies into one working body. So we did a management group, a management board, and this is headed by the company CEO. And then we did a supervisory board, which is sort of like a board of directors. And they have some of the leaders of the Türk Telekom Group, Gökhan Bey, of course, myself, and the group CFO, and we have two or three more esteemed board members from the TC Group board are coming. And this streamlines the operations, and you see that the leadership on the management board and on the board are common between the mother company, Türk Telekom, and the new member of the ninth member of our family, Invitel on the other side. Did I manage to speak more than David or not yet? Okay.
Yep, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
The next question comes from the line of Alex Wright from UBS. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you. I just have one simple question. It should only require a fairly short answer, I think, but that is on the receivables, which have increased quite a bit in Q3 by about 220 million lira. I wonder if you could just explain what is behind that, please.
I think, Alex, it's a good thought. I mean, that's just what happened this quarter. You've seen the bad debt increase. Both this is not old debt, this is new debt that's just coming through. It should drop towards year end as it always does for us. So what you see is year on year, I think it's about 200 million up compared to year end, but year end always is low, and we expect it to drop down again year end this year.
Okay, so compared to Q2, it's about 220 million. New customers that have come on recent months in some parts of the business?
It sometimes happens during the summer months when people go away and they just miss the bills, and they come back and then they start to catch up, which tends to mean we make more profit because then we're only 4.5% interest.
Right.
Each month. So
okay, so you're expected to go back down.
Profitable time of year for us, Alex.
Okay, so you're expected to go back down by year end.
It'll start to drop back as to what number we'll see.
Yep. Where we can see. Okay, thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. We appear to have no further questions at this time. I'll hand the conference back to you.
Thank you, everyone. This now ends the conference call. Thanks for joining us this afternoon, and have a good evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you very much, and goodbye.